take a copy of the scriptures that you have in your hand and turn to Psalm 92, please, this evening. 92nd Psalm. We'll read this Psalm together. It's also good to see all those who have gathered and to welcome those who are watching online as well. And we trust that the Lord will bless your heart through the ministry of the word, and as the Lord has placed it upon my own heart to deliver it unto you. So Psalm 92, and we will read from verse 1 to the end of the chapter. So let us hear the word of our God. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For though thine enemies, O Lord, for though thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire upon mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that shall rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. Let's take another moment, please, and still ourselves and come before the Lord. And even I will make that prayer of verse 10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, that promise, even claim that for myself this night. So let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Loving God and gracious Father, what a privilege it is to read the word of God, to assemble together, even as thy people, into this thy house. And Lord, we look to thee for thy blessing and thy help, even upon the word as it's preached. We thank thee, Lord, for the praise that has been offered, these wonderful hymns, being able to render up unto thee. And we pray, O God, that as we continue now before thee with the book opened in our hands, O God, we pray, O God, that thou would speak to our hearts out of the book. Open our hearts to receive what thou would have to say to us. And may the word lead us out in prayer tonight. Lord, it is Bible study and prayer time. And we pray that the two will be married together in such a way that we will be very conscious of thy help in the preaching, the hearing, and then later on in praying. We pray, O God, Lord, and I ask for that fresh anointing of God the Holy Spirit. Lord, that thou would pour the oil upon me and help me, O God, to preach tonight. Cleanse me in the precious blood and use me for thy glory and for thy name's sake. Hear prayer and answer, for I ask this in my Saviour's precious and lovely name. Amen. Now, one thing that really welled up in my heart when we were on holidays and had a few days over in England was the feeling of gratitude. I have to say it was really upon my heart. As I saw the multitudes of people and drove down the streets lined with houses, I wondered to myself how many of these people have a knowledge of the one true and living God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, there were these little churches scattered here and there, reminding me that God always has his witness. But by and large, we have a nation which has forsaken God. And that's seen by all the effects of sin upon our land, and for the many who have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thought that God had not passed me by in the midst of the multitude of people, but in electing grace and by his love through the blood of Jesus Christ, save my soul, it humbled me and caused my heart to throb with thanksgiving to my God. And since then, I've been thinking a lot about being thankful. Now, we could describe thanksgiving in terms of its biblical context as the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for the blessings He has given to us, whether those are physical, spiritual, or material. And a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it should transform us into a joyful and a grateful soul. And as we grow as believers, we should see an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving develop in our lives. And that is one mark that Christ is dwelling within our heart. Thanksgiving and a thankfulness towards Almighty God. And we should make a concerted each and every day to appreciate all the blessings that God has given to us. Our lives should be filled with that spirit of gratitude to God, not only for who He is, first and foremost, but for what He has done for us. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in Colossians 2, verse 7, that our lives are to abound with and in thanksgiving. But the sad truth is that when it comes to having a spirit of thanksgiving, we fall short, don't we? We're not as thankful as possibly we could be. We are much better at grumbling and complaining than we are at giving thanks, lamenting and mourning, rather than offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Despite all the blessings, sometimes we're anything but thankful, or at least we forget to express it. We're often like the 9 lepers there in Luke 17. And there we read of 10 lepers. And they called out unto the Lord Jesus Christ as He was passing along the border of Samaria and Galilee, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Christ immediately heard their cry and promptly told them to go and show yourselves to the priests. And then in verses 14 to 16 of Luke 17, we read this here, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet," that's Christ's feet, "giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." And Christ took notice of that thankful attitude which glorified God and the lack of it and the others, and he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found at return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And the Lord's response to ingratitude of the 9 lepers, it gives us really a glimpse into the heart of God. Christ was disappointed. He was disappointed that only one person cared enough to express his gratitude and acknowledge God's goodness. One man commented on that account in Luke 17, saying, "No story in all the Gospels so poignantly shows man's ingratitude like the lepers of Luke 17. The lepers came to Jesus with desperate longing. He cured them, and 9 never came back to give thanks. And so often, once a man has got what he wants, he never comes back to say thank you." Psalm 103, verse 2, is a self-exhortation we would do well to remember. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Let's not forget all God's blessings to us. For it is good to say thank you. And that's what I've entitled this message this evening, as we consider the opening verses of Psalm 92. It's good. It is good to say thank you. Now, firstly, notice with me here from these opening 4 verses that a thankful soul is a praying soul. A thankful soul is a praying soul. Look at verse 1. "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord." Now, you know when you're given something by someone and you are thankful, it's to that person that you say thank you. You don't say it to anybody else. So therefore, if we are thankful to God for all that He has done for us, we will tell Him. And we will do that through prayer. And thanksgiving is one key element of prayer. Thinking of that little acronym, ACTS. A-C-T-S. In relation to prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the churches, speaks of this component of prayer, a very significant and important component of prayer, thanksgiving, when he's writing to them about the subject of prayer. You know the well-known words, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Maybe the less familiar one, we could think of Colossians 4 verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should fragrance our prayers, should be scattered through our prayers. Thankfulness is one of the motivating factors which causes the Christian to pray. And there are no lack of things for which we can give thanks to God for. We can always find something to be thankful for, even in those times which appear dark and discouraging. I was thinking about this today, even in the midst of a pandemic. Yes, because child of God, you're not going through a pandemic on your own. Christ is with you. That's something to be thankful for. To understand that God is sovereign in all things. And you're not going through it wondering, what's this all about? Something to be thankful for. We can think of all the mercies, temporal and eternal. Physical and spiritual. Things like life, health, food, raiment, air, water, friends, family, home, religious and civil liberties. These are all things that we daily enjoy to some degree or another, and we can give thanks for them. However, I came across in my study this little interesting comment made by A.W. Pink, and I think that it's extremely appropriate to what is termed Western Christianity, which we are part of. This is what he said. Gratitude is the return justly required from the objects of God's benevolence. Yet it is often withheld from our great benefactor simply because his goodness is so constant and so abundant. It is lightly esteemed because it is exercised toward us in the common course of events. It is not felt because we daily experience it. And how true that is. Yet if you placed us in a country where the water does not flow with the turn of a tap, how thankful we would soon become for clean, fresh, cold water. Or if we think of the persecuted church and how they have not the freedom to worship publicly as we do. But here we are and we daily experience the liberty to worship together. You know, our giving of thanks to God for the public place of worship, it is often withheld. To quote Pink again, it is not felt because we daily experience it. When you read of some of the stories of what our brethren and sisters have to face and what they have escaped from, how thankful we should be for what we enjoy. As I was reading this week about a young lady who was escaping from North Korea, and it would break your heart, and how her own family was killed because they professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But above the temporal and the physical blessings, of course, we can be thankful for the spiritual and the eternal. The blessings of redemption for Christ and salvation by Him. We can sing, my heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who bore my pain, who plunged the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in His light, and wrote His law of righteousness with power upon my heart. Here in verse 1, we see that the giving of thanks is unto the Lord, Jehovah. And you well know, you've heard it so many times, the covenant name for God. And you and I, we've been brought into a covenantal relationship with the Almighty God. Thereby, we can call the one who is infinite, eternal and unchangeable our Father. We have been united to Christ, and we are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a union that none can sever nor time dissolve. We echo the words of Paul to the Colossians. Again there in chapter 1. Giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a note of thanksgiving that you and I can render and give unto God. And 8 times in the Psalms, throughout it, we are exhorted to say in this manner, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. How good he has been to us in saving our precious, never dying souls. Thanking God in prayer is good, we're told in this verse. Literally, we can read it in the Hebrew, good is it to give thanks to Jehovah. See, both the act and the effect are good. It is good because God has the right to be thanked. He has the right. Thankfulness to God is a recognition that in his goodness and faithfulness he has provided for us and cared for us both physically and spiritually. It is a recognition that we're totally dependent on him, and all that we are and all that we have comes from him. And it's also good because it's agreeable to his will, and it's a mark of obedience. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to be willing or obedient to God's will? Well, give thanks. Give thanks. See, we live in a world where many have become preoccupied with themselves. They have this sense of entitlement and have lost the grace of being thankful for what they have. And how is that demonstrated? How do we see today that people are unthankful? Covetousness. Because they are not content with what they have. And they continually want to heap to themselves something bigger, something better. While what they have does them right well. That's a mark of unthankfulness. Not being content with what you have. And you know, this should not surprise us, as unthankfulness is a mark of the last days. You know the words, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, verse 2. And that will do us. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And you know, I read that just before I come out again, and I thought to myself, and it's remarkable that the Holy Ghost has the order there, that unthankfulness is even placed before unholiness. Unthankfulness to God. It is not giving the honor unto God that is due unto him. It's lamentable that men never thank God for the countless blessings he confers upon them. And then remember him only to complain of the evils which they have brought upon themselves, which in reality are not as great as their misconduct and their sin deserves. Or else they only begin to pray to God when things aren't going right. It's good to give thanks unto the Lord. The one who is thankful will be prayerful. Just to emphasize that first point. The one who is thankful will be prayerful. A thankful soul is a praying soul. Secondly, a thankful soul is a praising soul. Praying and praising are often connected in Scripture, and we find that here in verse 1. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Gratitude is the handmaiden, already alluded to this, of contentment and happiness. The Puritan John Boyce, he said this, as the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, so likewise he loveth a cheerful thanksgiver. Now it was natural for the psalmist, we don't know who the writer of the psalm is, but it was natural for the psalmist to sing unto the Lord because he was glad. And his gladness was caused by a thankful contemplation of the divine work. Look at verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Now the Hebrew word here, triumph, in this verse, it's translated in scripture as sing 25 times and singing twice. This is the only place that we find it translated triumph. So we can also read verse 4 like this. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will sing of the works of thy hands. Now if we consider creation, remember creation, the morning stars, they sang together. But if we consider creation or providence, we find there overflowing reasons for joyful praise. It's good to give thanks to God in prayer. Yes, that's true. But also in praise in the form of vocal song. And nature itself, it teaches us to express our gratitude to God in this way. You think of the birds, we often say, which sing. And the Lord has given them a song. But further still, when we come through, contemplate the work of redemption, gladness, we have to say, should know no bounds. And the individual feels that they must praise the Lord with all their might and song. I sing because what? I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. And we see that this expression of gratitude and song was done not only with singing, but by music joined to the singing. If you consider verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Now let's take note of what is mentioned here, for it does speak of style when it comes to praising God and thankfulness. And I know this is a little aside. I'm not here tonight preaching on praise, the type of praise in church, and genre of praise and style, but it's here and it's worth a mention. You see, it says at the end of verse 3 that the accompanying music was to be with a solemn sound. A solemn sound. Now this is one word in the Hebrew, and it refers to a sound which is tender. Murmuring is really the word, meaning soft and gentle, and it's a sound that leads people to meditate on what is being sung. It's a music style that does not distract, nor does it overpower the words. And that is contrary to what happens in many places today, where the music is anything but tender and meditative. But this is the type of music that went along with the singing and the praise, with a solemn sound. And there's another point that I want to highlight in this portion that we find here when we're dealing with the subject of praise. For I want you to see that we in this church, we seek to worship God in a manner which is agreeable to the Word of God. Look at the heading of Psalm 92, and I didn't read it. And well, this is the reason, because it's in my notes. But it says there, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. So this was written, we don't know who wrote it, but it was written for worship in the temple. It was written for the Sabbath. A song for the Sabbath. Now we need to keep in mind that these titles, they are part of the inspired scripture. And there are those who say that instruments should not be part of public worship on the Christian Sabbath. But here we have evidence very much to the contrary. Very much. Now I'm not here to say we're better than anyone else. But I am here to ground you in your faith and to help you understand why we worship the way we do. Why we worship with a solemn sound. The music, it accompanies. It doesn't distract. It doesn't overpower. And that's why we use instruments in our public worship. We are thankful. We are thankful. We should be thankful. For those whom the Lord has given the talent and the ability to play a musical instrument, and that they have the opportunity to serve God in that way on the Lord's Day and any other time we gather for public worship. The privilege is ours to sing with musical accompaniment, expressing our gratitude to God. And I understand that in these days we have advised you to sing with moderation, but the privilege still remains. The privilege still remains. An ever-growing attitude of gratitude is a desirable state of mind that attends to happiness, contentment, and peace. But an unthankful mind is an unhappy mind. And a murmuring, complaining, dissatisfied, disgruntled heart makes its possessor wretched. And it'll rob them of their song. And you'll see it in their countenance. The thankful soul is a praying soul. The thankful soul is a praising soul. Finally and briefly, a thankful soul is a proclaiming soul. A soul who is thankful for all the Lord has done for them will be an individual who does and wants to show forth Christ by their profession and by serving Him. Look at verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. The words to show forth, they speak of declaring, proclaiming, to make known. And if thankfulness fills your heart, you will desire to make the love of God in Christ Jesus known to others. It's as simple as that. It was said by one man, if thankfulness does not move us to serve God, then we do not truly understand who God is and what He has done on our behalf. Without gratitude for Christ's sacrificial love, our duty will become nothing more than drudgery, and our God nothing more than a dissatisfied boss. Is that how you're serving God? Is He a dissatisfied boss? Are you thinking, you know, if I don't do this, God's going to be angry with me? No, thankfulness motivates us, moves us to serve our God. We are to show forth God's loving kindness and faithfulness by our life and by our lip. God has made known to us that He's loving, that He's kind and compassionate, and that He's faithful and trustworthy and without contradiction. And He's revealed also many other of His attributes to us, things like His holiness and His justice. And you and I are to exhibit those same attributes to those around us, not just on the Sabbath, for which this song was composed, but as the verse says, in the morning and every night, each and every day, you and I are to be proclaiming, showing forth, making known the loving kindness and the faithfulness of our God. All of us can proclaim Christ. From our youthful days right up to our old age. Look at verse 14 of this chapter. They shall still. And that's the key word, still. Because it indicates that in their youth they were doing the same thing. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Listen, what's the purpose? Verse 15, to show, to declare, to make known. That's the same word. Even right up to your old age, you can still be proclaiming Christ out of the thankfulness, the gratitude of your heart, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. A thankful soul will be a proclaiming soul. Now as I close, I read this and I thought it was a catchy statement. I have mentioned it a few times, but our favourite attitude should be gratitude. Our favourite attitude should be gratitude. How often we take God's goodness for granted and forget to say thanks. God has given us the gift
of 86,400 seconds in a day. Have we taken the time to use just a few of those seconds to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You imagine if someone gives your child, if you have a child, imagine if someone gives your child a gift. What's the first thing you do if that child does not say thank you? You say to your child, now what do you say? Encouraging them to say thank you for themselves. You wouldn't have them remain silent. And if they did, you would do that thing where you raise your eyebrows and change your tone and you go, what do you say? Isn't that what you would do? Now, why is that? Why? Because it would be rude. And because silence towards the giver is a demonstration of unthankfulness. Isn't that right? And I know gaps can creep into public prayer times. I know that. And I know that not everyone plucks up the courage and can do that. And it's a very weighty thing upon you. But just think about that. We wouldn't let our children remain in silence. And yet you think how much God has given to us and gives to us and gives to us. A.W. Tozer, he said this, I finish with this quote, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make and be no poorer, but richer for having made it. Brethren and sisters, it costs nothing to say thank you. And may our prayers be marked with thankfulness tonight. The Lord bless His word to our hearts, and we'll have a word of prayer before the Reverend Greer comes to just leave matters before us and then to lead us into the time of prayer. I'm finishing a little earlier tonight and I'm going to try to keep that the trend to leave more time for prayer, and let's take that opportunity as the Lord would afford it unto us. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. But surely there's something that each and every one of us could thank God for this evening. So let's bow in prayer. Loving God and gracious Father, we come to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving unto Thee, thanking Thee for Thy word, thanking Thee for Thy dear Son who loved us and gave Himself for us. We rejoice, O God, that we have been reconciled, Lord, through the blood of His cross. We thank the Lord for every mercy, seen and unseen, that attends our pathway every day. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the place of worship, the house of God. We thank Thee for so many good things. And often, Lord, we're just focused on the things that we don't have or the things that aren't right, taking our mind and our hearts from, Lord, thanking Thee for what we have and are in Christ Jesus. Pray that You'll help us to be thankful. A thankful soul will be a praying soul. A thankful soul will be a praising soul. And a thankful soul will be a proclaiming soul. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to praise. Help me to proclaim Thy loving kindness and Thy faithfulness. Each and every day, bless people as they're gathered. Help, Lord, when we come to pray, Lord, unloose our tongue. Give victory this night in the place of prayer. Banish the old adversary. Rebuke him, we ask of Thee. Give him no place in this meeting. Help us, we beseech of Thee. Lord, we need Your help. Lord, teach us to pray. Give us Your Holy Spirit to pray. Prompt prayer, stir prayer. And Lord, hear us, we ask of Thee. We pray in these things in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen.